Get your films on with the Blurgs.
Once an idea has taken hold of the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate.
Unpacking movies has never been more spot on, woke, fire, and just plain lit.
They are lit all the time.
So if you're unsure whether or not to plop down some cash for a film, check out the Blurgs.
When a man with a 45 meets a man with a rifle, the man with a pistol is a dead man.
Brando's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
You really only need to hang, mean bastard. But mean bastards, you need to hang.
Don't say you weren't warned. Ridiculous. Here's Brandon and Jeff.
Hello, welcome to another First Looks episode of the Film Blurreds. It's me, your host, Brandon Norwood, a.k.a. Hero Protagonist, a.k.a. the True Father of Joe's Kids, a.k.a. Poppy Chulo, a.k.a. the Glizzy King, a.k.a. Mr. Krusty, a.k.a.
the Lethal Protector,
a.k.a. my biggest pet peeve is sports. Why? Because I don't like seeing grown men sweat on each other, a.k.a. I want a Subaru Outback so I can have mad strippers in the back giving shape-ups, a.k.a. Ruff McGruff, a.k.a. D's Nuts, and a.k.a. B-Wood the Magnificent. Jeff is still out. He is still busy. So we are going to roll right into what have I watched lately.
What are you watching?
Westworld just premiered last night. Season 4 is back. And it's like season 3. It's another reset. I don't mind the show resetting itself because it plays into the overall narrative. But this is just setting the pieces in place for the season to come. Big surprise at the end. I did not see a certain character returning. I don't know if that's the same character or if it's a new incarnation of that character, but very interested to see what they do with Evan Rachel Wood, because if you've seen season 3, you know how it plays out for Dolores, and with season 4 we're introduced to Christina. So I'm interested to see if Christina is Dolores or just a new host in general. Moving on for that, Evil, again another wild episode. Everybody's seeing demons this season, so we'll see how it goes, and we'll move on from that because I don't want to talk too much about the episode just because, how could I say this? It's loaded, and it's an episode that's best left for you fresh. If you have FX, FX is killing it now. Like, you've heard me talk about it with Jeff, Under the Banner of Heaven. So now I'm going to talk about The Old Man, episode 3. We're getting deeper. There's more reveals. We finally see who his daughter is, and I was right. I was right on who his daughter was. I don't know how this show is going to play out because everybody's motivations are just so complicated and so mysterious. We get to see a little bit more of the backstory, which is cool, as to why Jeff Bridges is on the run and what exactly his family is. The Old Man, I can't say more than enough. Again, this is another one I don't want to spoil. The Bear, also on Hulu. The Bear is fantastic. All episodes are up. 8 30-minute episodes. If this doesn't get another season, I'm cool because this is perfect as is. This really feels like watching any kitchen in America. Like, I know it's harsh. A lot of you guys are going to watch it and be like, wow, I can't believe they talk to each other. But like, yeah, that's how a lot of people in the food industry talk to each other like that. They curse each other out and say like, be on your shit, get your shit together. So like, yeah, it's high pressure, high demands. Cuisine is a cutthroat business. There's a reason why you have Michelin starred restaurants where the chef's pulling in like $1 million a year. You know what I mean? Bobby Flay became Bobby Flay for a reason. Guy Fieri became Guy Fieri for a reason. The Bear on FX. Watch it. It's awesome. Has a real diverse cast. It's so rewarding once you get to that last episode. And I don't want to say anything else because, again, this is a show you need to just watch on your own. Before we get into the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi, I will talk about Ms. Marvel Season 1, Episode 3. Episode 3, like, this show keeps getting better and better, and it started off great. And Episode 3, we're now getting to Kamala's home life and now her superhero life kind of colliding together, and it's pretty disastrous. This show is so well done, it makes me excited for the Captain Marvel sequel, The Marvels. Oh man, I wish Marvel would do more of this, just grounded, more ground level superheroes that focus on character over the effects, because this is what it seems like. Marvel works better in TV than they do in films right now. And I know Kevin just said they're going to announce Phase 5 and the big saga that's coming up with Phase 5 that will probably run, I guess, through Phase 6. But you know, maybe they should pivot to TV, because it's, for the most part, it seems like TV's working better for them. Like, this girl, Ayman, who plays Kamala Khan, she is a revelation, and I guarantee you she's going to be getting work, because, like, this girl just has the personality and the charisma that just pops. Like, she's so adorable. Like, you can't take your eyes off of her because she's so good in this role. So I'm excited to see what else she's going to do outside of the character Kamala Khan. And now we'll talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi, episode 6. Frank, have you gotten a chance to watch Obi-Wan yet?
Not yet. That is on my list. I don't want you to feel like you can't say anything.
I don't want to spoil it, just because...
You're not spoiling it for me. I'm telling you, you're not spoiling it for me.
No. I just don't want to spoil it in general. Oh, just because, okay. Like... Remember the last episode where I said the third sister shouldn't... Yeah. I was right. The third sister, this should have been, like, she should have had her own show, okay. Be honest with you. Because the way they use her in this last episode, I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? This is what you got? You guys ran out of steam with this character. So you got that. You got Anakin versus Vader again. And it's just... The Vader versus Anakin part, I feel like, would have been such a good story if they had started with that from the beginning. Like, it should have been Anakin hunting Obi-Wan, and that's why he comes out of retirement and he's being chased across the galaxy. That's not the exciting incident. You'll see what it is. But okay. Like, as is now, this should have been a movie. That should have been the exciting incident, just because now, like, Hayden and Ewan are giving great performances. Like, great, better than in the prequels, because you could clearly tell they're much more engaged with what's going on here than they were in the prequels. However, it would have worked better if this was the through line through the show. There was just too many working parts for this to have an emotional... They want to hit emotionally, like, that final confrontation between Anakin and Obi-Wan. And it would have been powerful if, from the beginning, we had that instead of just all these moving pieces to get them two together. Right. You know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. I understand what you mean. But yeah, when I really see it, it'll make a lot more sense.
And this is like you said last time too, like, it's too many connecting the dots now.
Mm-hmm.
Too many. It's just fan service after fan service after fan service. And I thought that was cool, like, because there's plenty of history there. He's on Tatooine for 40 years. And when they announced this, I'm like, cool, because there's a lot you can do there. And I don't even think it was worth it, to be honest with you. Like, I like Obi-Wan's story. I like his arc. It just should have been executed much better. And they needed a better director, because that fight between Anakin and Vader could have been cooler if they had somebody a little more seasoned.
Don't get me started with fight choreography. As in the main review that you're going to do,
yeah.
I'm all about fight choreography. If it doesn't look realistic, I can't watch it.
Right.
I actually get physically hostile.
I get it. Deborah Chow decides to use handheld a lot throughout this show. And for this last fight, it doesn't work. She does some overhead shots for some reason. I'm like, why are we cutting to overhead shots of these two guys fighting? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, unless you're Busby Berkeley. There's no sense in doing it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
But I enjoy how this gets to you guys, though. I like watching this in the studio. We need more video on the show.
It's just mind-boggling to me that Disney has the most resources on Earth, the most money out of any studio in Hollywood.
Sure.
And it has little imagination, no heart to it, and mm-hmm. It's just cheap. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It feels like an afterthought.
I totally hear you. I know where you're coming from.
And the fans don't care, because it's just like, oh, it's that shit I liked from like 12 years ago. Oh my God. And I'm just like, okay. I'm a fan too. I love Star Wars. Like, everybody who knows me, I mean, look at my phone, man. Like, you know what I mean?
No, you will C-3PO'd out.
Yeah, like, I'm a dude who's more of a storyteller than fan service. Like, that's cool. Like, every once in a while, cool. Little callback, fine. When your whole shit's predicated on, like, yo, how about this? How about this? How about this? Then it doesn't work.
Yeah, and it becomes more of a commercial thing, more of a product placement thing, more of a, as they churn these things out, it's always a little R2-D2 soon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm totally with you on that. I feel the same exact way. It starts to lose its flavor.
Yeah, it's about selling the toy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
I should not feel like this. You know what I mean? Like, this is the one project that they announced where I was like, oh yeah, this is going to work. And it should have been a movie. Like, hands down.
Sure.
It should have been a movie. And I understand why they made it a TV show instead of a movie, because Solo flopped. Here's my thing, man. When they first announced Solo, I think I was with everybody where we're just like, but why? You know what I mean? Like, you don't need the origin story of Han Solo.
I don't know. Maybe, why not? I mean, Harrison Ford did an amazing job as that character.
Right.
Why not? How did Han Solo start? Why not an origin story? I'm confused.
I just don't care about this character's origin. Mm-hmm. Like, you get enough of it, like his background. He's like, yeah, I'm just a rogue smuggler, man. And A New Hope, yeah.
I'm sorry, A New Hope,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. He comes in, he's just like, yo, I'm just a smuggler. I'm trying to pay Jabba because Jabba's literally trying to kill me. Right. Just give him my money so right. I could go. And like, that's his whole deal. And right, I'm like, all right, I don't need any more than that. And then his motivation becomes he's falling in love with this beautiful princess.
Right, right.
True. Boom. I don't really need to see the origin of that character. Okay. You know what I mean?
I can see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Wow, all you flipped me already.
Yeah, jeez. Man. Like, that's all these. Long. Don't get me wrong. The third sister, I like that character. And I like her arc. Should have been her own story. But, like, mm-hmm. it's becoming more and more clear now that not a single Star Wars story that has focused on classic characters like Obi-Wan,
right.
Han, mm-hmm. Boba Fett has had anything truly like a compelling reason to exist, period. I remember vividly when Lord and Miller were announced that they were directing Solo. And I was like, okay, cool. Because those guys are the kings of turning bad ideas into gold. Like 21 Jump Street, Cloudy right, with right. a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego movie. Like all bad ideas. And they turned that shit into gold. And so once they were fired and Ron Howard came on and reshot the whole movie, I was just like, well, I mean, I don't care. And it's not because of Ron Howard. It's just because that doesn't make me confident in this movie that you're reshooting the whole thing because you didn't like what they did.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You can't hire two guys like that. And then literally they had 1 week left of shooting and then just be like, oh, no,
we're done.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, all right. So then by that point, like the thing that drew me in the first place, I don't care. And then the final product. You go see the final product and it confirmed my fears, which is like, yeah, this shit just didn't need to exist in the first place. It added nothing to Han Solo's story.
Right, right.
Yeah, man. Lucasfilm needs to accept that these new stories with these classic characters that are just looking back and going back in the past, it's just not going to work anymore, man. It's just not going to work. Like, we should probably start doing new things with new characters. And I was excited for that Andor show that they announced because Cassian Andor, played by Diego Luna in Rogue One, great character, and they were going to give him his own show. I was excited for it until they announced that the end of the second season, it'll tie directly into Rogue One. And I'm just like, stop that. This is what I'm talking about. Stop connecting the dots. The best prequels are stuff that doesn't connect dots, like Better Call Saul.
Yes.
That doesn't connect any dots. And if it does connect dots, it's very, very like minute details where you're just like, oh, okay. Right. Fargo season 2, even the new Apes trilogy. You guys just got to find a compelling story with new characters. And then like you see the tie-ins coming, but don't tie it directly in. Like the audience can use their imagination to fill in the rest of the gaps. I don't know, man. Yeah, that's all I got to say about Obi-Wan. You're going to give it a watch or you just going to skip it?
No, I'm going to watch it.
All right.
I'm going to do it. I want to absorb what Obi-Wan is. I think I don't want to miss anything, even if it's bad. At least I can say, you know, I watched it. There were some parts okay, some parts no. But, you know, for the most part, we'll see if I like it or not. But, yeah, I'm into it. I'm into all that stuff. Look, if I can't bear it, I'm just not going to continue it. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Well, did you watch Boba Fett?
I didn't know. I didn't know it was even a Boba Fett thing.
Yeah, there's a whole Boba Fett show. No.
No good.
I will say this. This is miles better than Boba Fett. Because Boba Fett, to me, was just literally a fan service show.
Okay.
Yeah, it was spun off from Mandalorian. Because they're doing like 5 spinoffs of Mandalorian.
Oh, okay. See, all that stuff, I really couldn't care less about. Obi-Wan, though, I do want to see.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, that was why I like Mandalorian. Because I was like, oh, a new character. We're doing different new shit in the Star Wars universe. And then second season, you started tying in.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're back to that. And I think we got, I think everybody, and this just doesn't go with Disney, this goes with everybody in Hollywood, we got to stop marveling shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And by that meaning, like, plugging pieces here and there and saying, like, oh, yeah, this is all connected. Stop doing that shit. It works for Marvel, but it ain't working for them anymore.
Well, it worked for Marvel for the first 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that worked. It was something new. It was something that was being done correctly. They seasoned it and peppered stuff throughout all these other movies that tied everything together at the end. It worked. It was a masterpiece.
Yeah, but now it's just...
But now it's being seen as a formula.
Yeah.
Sort of like having... when the first Survivor, right, when Richard Hatch won, He invented the whole alliance thing. Now it's just an assumed thing. Okay, we got to make alliances. Now it's like, all right, get your alliance together. This wasn't like a formula, like part of the... It worked for that show.
That was a phenomenon, too. I remember watching that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Those first two seasons. Because it was the first one, and then the second one was the Outback.
Right.
And then after the second season, I was like, okay, so this is just going to be the same shit over and over. So that's when I was like, I'm out.
I just watched one with my wife recently. It was called The Davids versus the Goliaths.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, this is a cool kind of a concept. They had fans versus favorites.
Oh. Right?
So that was kind of, but they had these new things, like with immunity idols. Like you can find an immunity idol on the beach. So if you won immunity, now you have this immunity idol. You could use it at any time right before they count the votes. Jeff, I like to play my immunity. I found an immunity idol. And then another one is like an immunity nullifier. So, like, if someone plays an immunity, someone could have found the immunity nullifier. So it kicks that immunity now out. So, like, they've introduced a lot of other stuff, which is kind of cool. You know, so, because I wish they were starting to get smart.
I get that. I wish they would have done that sooner.
Again, I don't know if they did this before David versus Goliath. This is on, I think it's on Prime or Netflix, one of them. And we just watched one of them. I don't know how many were in between.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but like I said, after the second season, I was like, I'm out.
We're done.
Yeah, man, I'm out.
That's good stuff.
Yo, I don't know, man. I see it once. You did it well once. Don't give me the same shit twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's exactly why comedy sequels aren't good. Like, the only comedy sequels that are good is the Bill and Ted franchise, because those change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see.
From movie to movie.
I'm not a big sequel guy, although Rocky, I don't care if they do Rocky 37.
But you know
what,
man?
I'm there opening night.
What makes Rocky the sequels good is like they write the opponents well. Rocky's such a likable character, and he's learning new lessons each movie. So if the story structure's the same, you forgive that just because everything else is so good, you know?
Yeah, and there is definitely a formula to that, and it's a very forgivable formula.
Yes.
Because it's like, he's going to lose the first one, he's going to train better, going to win the second one, and then what happens to him throughout that piece?
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
And I know this going in, and I love it.
I mean, I guess that's why I'm excited for Creed 3, just because, you know, again, Adonis, like Rocky, is just a good character. And you just want to see that character in a new situation, see how his life's changing. Right. He's a father now. So, like, this new one, let's see how he's raising his daughter. You know what I mean?
Just like in Rocky 2. In Rocky 1, he had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Rocky 2, now he has a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny because Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 were shot together. It was supposed to be one movie.
Oh, really?
But it was too long.
Gotcha.
So they made him just make it. So that's why Rocky 2 starts exactly how Rocky 1 ended.
It's
the same movie. They shot it at the same time. Imagine releasing that today in its entirety. It's funny. My mom, she used to love editing. She actually got me into editing.
Yeah.
This is years ago. She took Rocky 1, 2, and 3 and made it one movie. Like, she spliced it all together as one thing. I'm like, Ma, the end of Rocky 1 and the beginning of Rocky 2 takes place the same night. So you can definitely splice that together and let it run.
Right.
You know, but she didn't put 3 on there, you know. I'm like, that's a little ambitious. But yeah, anyway. So yeah.
No, because they did that for Godfather 1 and 2. They called it the Godfather Saga. They put it together.
Correct.
Never seen it. Would love to see it.
What?
I've never seen the saga.
Oh, okay.
No, I've talked about the Godfather trilogy on here before, but
wait a minute. Isn't the saga, didn't they put that in chronological order?
Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
And they added in all the stuff they deleted out. So, like, there's deleted scenes that are still missing from shit I own that's only in the saga, and I can't find the saga anywhere.
You know, I might be able to help you with that. My cousin John was in Godfather 1.
Okay.
Do you remember in the theater? They're in the theater in Italy. They're watching this show. It's a live production.
All right.
And the guy's saying, Mama, Mama Mia. The woman, I think the woman, the mother dies or something. And everybody stands up with an applause. My cousin John, they were going to cue the audience as when to stand up all together. And he knew when they were going to cue. So he got up a second before everyone else. They left it in. So the guy that you see getting up, and he turns around so that his face is seen. That's my cousin John.
He was smart, man.
He was no dope. That was crazy. He stands up, turns around real quick, and clapping, and everybody else stands up and starts clapping. The guy you see stand up, that's my cousin John. John DeScala.
Yep. All right.
Check that out. You should check that out.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and watch it again.
Absolutely. I'll send you a freeze frame. You can put it up on Instagram.
Okay.
Cool.
Before we move on from what have you watched lately into the main review, I want to talk about an undertaking I did. And this was ended up being punishment. I've only seen Roger Moore's first Bond film, which was Live and Let Die. Like, I like Live and Let Die. It's rough watching it today just because, like, all the stereotypes against Jamaican and the voodoo. I'm just like, oh, bro. Almost every single Bond film now is up on Amazon because, as you guys know, MGM is now owned by Amazon. And I was just like, all right, well, you know, let me familiarize myself with Roger Moore because I'm not really familiar with this guy's run as Bond outside of Live and Let Die. I do not like this motherfucker's films. Roger Moore just sucks as a Bond. He's boring to watch. There's no charisma. My man's is old. Like, just watching him, I'm just like, dude, you are old. Sean Connery, who's my favorite Bond, he was like in his 30s and 40s too, but he still had that, how can I say this, this charisma, this screen presence.
He had charm.
Yeah, exactly.
He's charming.
Yo, Roger Moore is not charming at all. There's nothing to him. It's like watching a cardboard box from scene to scene. These movies are way too long. Like, all of his movies are over 2 hours, and I'm just like, there's so much of the second act where it just...
Moonraker, that was over 2 hours.
Yeah. Bro, I was just about to say, Moonraker is like watching a lot, like a serious Austin Powers movie.
Okay.
It, like, I cannot take that movie serious. I was just watching this. I was like, this is Austin Powers. God damn. Oh my God.
A serious Austin Powers.
It is. There's stuff in that where I was just like, you guys got to be kidding me. Like,
is great.
The attempts at humor in this, I'm just like, dude, this is so goofy. It's like a 5-year-old wrote this. Yeah, I and his last movie, A View to the Kill, has like Live and Let Die, obviously, great theme song. Oh, one of the best Bond themes ever, right?
So I just Wings. Saw Paul McCartney perform that live
like
2 weeks ago. Live and Let Die, amazing.
Because it was Paul McCartney and Wings.
Absolutely.
And
how do you go wrong with that? That alone. It's going to be great.
There, and I could tell you what, every Bond theme since then with Roger Moore, the only one that caught my ear was the Duran Duran, A View to the Kill, his last one.
Right.
That had Grace Jones and Christopher Walken. And I'm just sitting here watching this. I'm like, yo, Grace Jones and Christopher Walken together are amazing to watch. Right. But man, do they make them just bland. And I'm just like, how do you make these two people bland?
Well, Live and Let Die, the movie was garbage. But what I'm saying is the theme song.
Yes, the theme song is classic.
You're thinking, oh, this is going to be great.
Yes.
It can only be great now. Because I got Paul McCartney doing this.
Right.
And then,
And I might have to go back and rewatch Live and Let Die, but not immediately because, I mean, this was punishment, man. Like, he has the most movies out of every Bond. He has 7 movies. Daniel Craig's the longest running Bond, but...
Oh, okay.
Roger Moore has the most movies, and his movies, they all fucking suck on ice. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, people shat on Timothy Dalton. I was like, Timothy Dalton was good.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I do not agree with that. Timothy Dalton, first of all, the guy was like from another world. He's like cross-eyed. He's crying. James Bond doesn't cry.
He was, he to me was like Daniel Craig. You know, like a little less serious Daniel Craig before.
Dalton?
Yeah, because they had the same tone, which is like that serious, violent Bond. You know what I mean?
I thought, like, Pierce Brosnan had it all over Dalton.
Pierce Brosnan, again, I think he's a decent Bond. It's just his movies had the same problem with Roger Moore. Look, they got a little goofy.
No one's going to be Uncle Sean. Let's take that off the table right now.
Let's say, like, the two best Bonds, right, off the bat. Sean Connery, number one. Number two, Daniel Craig.
All right. Daniel Craig, he just bothers me. His look. I mean, I can enjoy a Daniel Craig James Bond movie. It's fine. Sean Connery, absolutely. You can't beat him. Hands down, the best. Second best I get for me, I would say Pierce Brosnan.
All right, I get that.
Roger Moore's way down. He's worse than Timothy Dalton.
I got to watch George Lazenby's one because I haven't seen that.
Oh, yes.
On His Majesty's Secret Service because people say that's actually good. So I'm going to give that a watch over the weekend.
I forgot about that.
So before we do this again next week, I will watch that one. But like as far as Bonds go, man, Roger Moore's the worst one. And he always had an opinion.
The worst, yeah.
He always has an opinion, like he's like, Idris Elba can't be Bond because he's black, or he's like, there can't be a female Bond.
Idris Elba would be great.
Yeah, exactly. Put him in one or two. Like, I know he's old, but let's get one or two of them. He would be 10 times better than Roger Moore. Roger Moore fucking sucks.
I thought James Bond was really more of a position, or like a it wasn't an actual
a code person. Name, yeah.
Like anybody could be 007.
Right.
James Bond.
Right.
That's the title of the agent or the officer.
Believe it or not, that was the rumor because what's her face? I can't remember her name, but she was in, I think it's Lashana Lynch.
Uh-huh.
She was in No Time to Die as the new 007. And we all thought she was just going to go by the name James Bond because it's a code name.
Right.
But it ends up being that too. She was just 007 and her name's just Numi. And I was just like, I get it. Like 007's a number you could retire at any time, right, just like 009 or 006. But like,
exactly. Right.
I thought the name came with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Roger Moore, you suck, bro. You suck. Like, there's just nothing else I can say. And you know what? I wanted to buy the box set with all the Bond movies. And now I'm just thinking, oh, I might just get Daniel Craig's and.
Well, that's how I feel about Batman. That's why I got all the Batarangs signed by all the Batman. I gave you George Clooney because I can't stand George Clooney as Batman.
You know what, man?
I refuse to acknowledge that even happened.
As bad as that movie is, it is so bad and so campy that there's part and so colorful there. It never gets dull. This shit gets dull, though. There's parts of these movies where I'm fucking bored out of my mind. So that's all I gotta say about this guy's run. And we'll get into the main review where we got three movies.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for, the Film Blurt feature film review.
So we'll start off with Rise. It's a movie that came out on Disney Plus on Friday. It is about Nigerian parents. They flee from Turkey to Greece because, you know, immigration and shit like that. They're struggling to raise their kids in Greece. And two of their kids ends up being really good at basketball. And Giannis, the second oldest one, ends up becoming a superstar in Greece. And he works his way through the ranks to try to provide for his family as a basketball player. I did not know this was a true story. This is pretty well done for a biopic. It's nothing you haven't seen before, but it does show like, damn, there's just no place you can go and just be safe. You know, it's like anywhere you go, people are going to hate you. Anywhere you're going to go, people are going to fuck with you. Rise, definitely worth a watch on Disney Plus. We'll move right into Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. This shit tickled my nostalgia bone in the right way because it had me laughing. Like, it's juvenile. Like, Beavis and Butthead's juvenile, but it's still shit in there that just makes me laugh. Like, even now, I was just like, damn, if this didn't feel like this came right from 1999. Like, I was dying laughing.
So you're a Beavis and Butthead fan?
Casual fan. Like, casual if it's fan. On, I'll watch You'll it. Watch it. Okay. You know what I mean? The movie, the first movie where they right. Beavis and Butthead do America, it's hilarious. This one is pretty funny. Cool. You know, I can't be mad on it. It was on Paramount Plus, so it's just
there you go.
You know, I can't be mad at it. It was funny. It literally didn't miss a beat. I was like, this thing's been going on for like damn near 30 years, and it feels like, and it's cool how they bring them into 2022. It's part of the story.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I not to contrast you, I can't get into Beavis and Butthead. I was never able to. And I'm a Ren and Stimpy guy. I worked on Ren and Stimpy, and working on that was torture.
Look, you know,
but that was more doable than anything I could do with Beavis and Butthead. No offense to anybody who likes Beavis and Butthead. It's just not my scene.
Yeah.
You know,
I get
it's
it.
So cool.
I get it. If you came up to me and you told me, yo, Brandon, Beavis and Butthead's fucking stupid, I like, yeah, I get it. It is. It's juvenile. Like, it's juvenile, but it makes me laugh. Like, I don't know what it is about them two, but them two make me laugh. Like, right. It is. It is fucking.
It's all good, man.
It's fucking juvenile. Like, I'm not even going to hold that against you. Moving on from that, we'll do our last topic today, which I'm going to tear a new asshole. The Man from Toronto.
Ooh.
This was supposed to come out in theaters in August. Just 2 weeks ago, they said it was pulled from schedule, unexplained. And then last week, they're like, okay, it's dropping on Netflix. And I was like, oh. And they put out the trailer. I was like, oh, okay, sure. I don't know why. This looks like a pretty expensive movie to just shove to Netflix. I got 20 minutes in. And I was like, yeah, this is a Netflix movie. If people want to go see this in theaters, woo.
You watched the whole thing.
Oh, right? Yeah, the whole thing. Okay. Did you finish it?
I did.
There's parts of it that I thought were funny. But for the most part, I'm just like, this is not funny, dude.
I would like to tell you what I thought of it first and see if it actually lines up with what you saw, because I just want to see if I'm on point.
Okay.
So my wife and I watched it, and first of all, One of the good things I will say about it is my buddy Rob Hardy, he reads my stuff. ASC, shout out, American Society of Cinematographers. Rob Hardy was the cinematographer on this. I do not hold it against him. I feel like Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson had a mortgage payment that they needed
to make.
And I feel like if Netflix keeps putting out stuff that's like at best average, I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. I felt like there's no way Woody Harrelson, the characters that Woody Harrelson and Kevin Hart played, they didn't have any chemistry.
Oh, no.
That would make me believe they would continue their relationship after everything they've been through.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, why didn't he just immediately kill him and then fix the whole situation?
Well, then you wouldn't have a movie.
But
see, my wife says the same thing. She's like, first of all, my wife is notorious for saying, I wonder where they shot this. So I looked it up and I'm like, you know, for a movie that's called The Man from Toronto, there's not a lot of Toronto in it.
Oh, no.
I mean, they shot in and around the city, but there's not a lot of Toronto like at all. The fight choreography, I thought, was absolutely amateurish at best.
All right.
At best.
Yes.
It was so ridiculously bad. There was no flow to it. No. I enjoy, look, Jackie Chan stuff, like he's jumping through the ladders. He's doing, I'm like, okay, no one's going to fight like this. But it's at least done well. I'm like, wow, that guy can freaking move. I mean, that's like calisthenics. That's
make
good
it,
stuff.
Make it connect so like it looks like you guys are actually hitting each other.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't believe this for a second. Yes. And you know what? Non-contact boxing, Taibo, Les Mills body combat. These are all real. This is not a jokey thing. That's a real thing.
So yeah, that's why when his boss was like, nobody's gonna do this. I'm like, people do this all the time.
Turbo kick.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. It's non-contact.
I do it once a week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just don't have anybody around to spar with.
My buddy Dan Cohen is a co-director of one of the biggest group fitness exercise programs that there is, and one of them is called Body Combat, where it used to be called Body Attack.
Right. It's Les Mills, right?
It's Les Mills. Yeah. Now it's just called Les Mills Combat. Les Mills was an Olympic athlete. He was an Olympic athlete in 1968.
Right.
Actually, a little bit before that, 1968, the company Les Mills was formed. Les, L-E-S, Mills is his last name. Philip Mills, his son, runs the company. And Jackie Mills. But it wasn't funny. That wasn't funny at all. Like,
no.
Like his goofy things like the Teddy band and the Teddy bar and the Teddy rap, that was all funny stuff. But Teddy, you know, the non-contact boxing, I'm like, that's not ironic. That's not funny. There's three things I could name off the top of my head that actually does that. And Taibo, Billy Blanks, was the one who started it all. And he is not crying.
See, that montage of his business propositions.
Stupid.
All that shit exists. So I don't know why that was supposed to be. The only time I laughed is just because he passed out because he was sweating so much from the body wrap.
That was funny.
The exercise bands, people do that to build muscle.
Yes.
Like I've seen people get ripped.
My wife teaches that class. Yeah. It's called band camp.
Yeah. Like I see people get biceps from muscle bands.
Resistance.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Why is this supposed to be a joke?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, are they goofing on the fitness world? I don't get it.
I don't know, man. For those of you who don't know, The Man from Toronto. I don't even remember Kevin Hart's character's name. Teddy. Because they keep saying, oh, you're going to
Teddy Jackson. You're going to Teddy it up.
Yeah. So Teddy is basically a fuck up. And like, he's on his last legs with his wife. And because he's such a fuck up, he goes to the wrong cabin because he booked a cabin for his wife's birthday and ends up in a hit. And people mistake him as the man from Toronto.
Yeah, it's a mistaken identity movie.
So the whole movie, he's with Woody Harrelson, who's the real man from Toronto, playing him to help Woody get his money. The throw-up gag was not funny. That was gross.
Actually, that part did make me laugh because my wife started laughing.
No, dude, I was just like, yo, I'm going to throw up myself. Like,
well, there's a lot of British comedies that they do that, and I think that's why she was probably reminding something else. But I can't get up the fight scenes. Poorly choreographed, poorly staged, poorly edited. It looked like a bunch of cheesy B movies that strung together.
No offense to Rob, but I did not like the lighting in this either. It looked like a TV movie.
Yeah, well, I give him, again, I think Rob had a mortgage payment. Sorry, Rob.
Look, man, I'll even say, like, Woody Harrell, I'll say this about Woody, and this is a testament to him. Even when he's phoning it in, he's still better than 90% of people who are giving it their all.
I just didn't like when he played it, when he had that dialogue with Kelly from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
I liked him as the man from Toronto. I liked him when he wasn't talking, too.
Yes.
I'm like, man, this guy's like, his eyes, posing. His face, he's like, he doesn't have to say anything.
Yes.
It's a far cry from Cheers, where he played the lovable guy, Woody.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
this, where it's like, I'm just watching when he has the hat on. I was hoping he wasn't going to say anything, because that just would have went, I think, further.
You know what makes me upset? The more that you talk about that, the more I'm mad that this could have been a good idea, like the man from Toronto, like in an action thriller like that, where like a hitman is like on the run from other hitman.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, and that's all you know him as, the man from Toronto. Cool.
But you know, the man from Miami reminded me of like a cheap cross between the guy that plays Alfred Pennyworth and Henry Cavill. It was like, if they had a baby, you'd have this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The man from Miami. He reminded me of, in Terminator 2, the Terminator 2000.
Oh, Robert Patrick.
It reminded me he could have been a lot more robotic, I think, and a lot more just like totally merciless. And I felt like there was a loss there, that they threw that away too.
They made it a little too cartoonish too, because I feel like he should have had like, where's the golf club bag called?
Well, yeah. I'm not a golfer.
He should have had one of those bags and pulled out a gun there instead of having his club be a gun. I was like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? This is straight from Roger Moore. Speaking of, that's a Roger Moore
it's
Bond.
It's like a Roger Moore Kingsman.
Yeah. I was like, that's fucking stupid. I was just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the man from Toronto, man, I see why Sony's like, yeah, no, we're not losing money on this. Because they probably would have lost a lot of money had they not just gave it to Netflix.
Right.
And how hard up is Netflix on content that they want this,
yeah,
man?
I don't get it.
You want to know how hard they're hurting for money? Rian Johnson's Knives Out sequel, Glass Onion, which is coming out in the fall, they're currently working with the movie theaters to give it a 50-day window in theaters before it hits Netflix. That's how hard they're hurting for money.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, Netflix, I know, gave Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David like $150 million for all the Seinfelds.
Yeah,
maybe that set them back.
I mean, I've heard for the past like 3 or 4 years how much money, like they've gone $10 billion in debt by each passing year because they just spend $10 billion.
Right, right.
And it's just like, well, yeah.
It's an unfunny and generic
comedy.
It feels like there's a John Wick and mixed it with The Man Who Knew Too Much without the humor.
And you know what? When Woody Harrelson punched Kevin Hart in the face, I was like, good, because I wanted to do it. I was like, shut the fuck up, dude. Just shut. Like, that's not, like, I get it. That fast talking buddy comedy stick, that it works in other ones, like 48 hours.
Come on. Absolutely.
Rush Hour, like all that shit works. Yeah. But here, it was not funny because there's no jokes. It's just him being a fish out of water. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
And Kevin Hart can act.
Right.
I mean, he can act.
Right. And he can be funny.
Just didn't think, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, it fucking sucked.
For the most part, I had just, you know, I had just driven about 4 or 5 hours. I was tired. I was uncomfortable. I was hungry. You know, so we were eating. So I was watching. It's like sometimes you wouldn't want to put something on that's kind of mindless and you just kind of laugh. And that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking back, like looking at it now saying, yeah, no, I'm like, it bothered me, but, you know, something to watch.
You want something entertaining, but not mindless. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, sometimes you don't want to think. Like, I don't want to watch, a mystery.
But you don't want to be insulted as you're watching it. Like,
I don't
want to
be insulted
either. Yeah, exactly. So it's that.
Right, right.
So that's The Man from Toronto. Please don't watch it. And that's it for First Looks from me. I'm Brandon Norwood, and see you later. We're the Film Blurred. I'm Brandon Norwood, and I'm the motherfucking protagonist.
I'm the protagonist.
I'm Jeff Stewart, a.k.a. He Who Remains.
Don't come at us. It's just fucking movies.
You've been listening to the Film Blurs podcast.
Man, I just love what you guys do, man.
I never miss an episode. It's the best.
It's my favorite podcast.
Follow Jeff on IG on MindfireXL and Brandon on Twitter at BJNTweets.